everybody. Great day out there today, isn't it? Beautiful weather. It's not too hot, not too humid. It's really a wonderful day, and we can thank the Lord for that. That's His work. That's His work. You know, He does that. Don't thank the weatherman. Thank the Lord. The weatherman just tells you what the weather's going to be, and half the time he's wrong. Trust what the Lord is going to do, and the Lord never makes a mistake. So we think about good works. You know, our brother said that today we're in the topic of renewing our good works. You know, that's really a great topic. So far in this series, we have talked about renewing our spiritual strength, renewing our vision for the lost, renewing our giving, renewing our minds. Last week, our brother David talked about renewing our inward man. Every day, our inward man is renewed by the Lord, by the Holy Spirit. And today, we look at the topic of renewing our good works. Right. Now, the elders have just told us about a good work that they're doing, upgrading the resources here at the chapel. That's a good work. We're all going to benefit by that. And as you see on the screen, oh, it's on that screen. It's not on this screen. There it is. There it is. If we were on Jeopardy right now, and I said to you, for $400, things that need to be renewed. AAA card. Every year you got to renew it. My car insurance, I just renewed that last week. Don't want to tell you what that cost. There's my driver's license. Pretty good picture, isn't it? Every 4 years I got to renew that, and I got to take a test to do it. Vehicle registration, I got to renew that every year. And there's my truck inspection sticker. As you can see, I'm due for renewal within another week or so, right? Things that need to be renewed. And everything, oh, and don't forget this, magazine subscriptions, Cape Cod Life and American Rifleman. Anybody interested in Cape Cod or a Beretta A300? I can give you resources on that. If I don't renew American Rifleman, Wendy's not going to be happy. She's not going to be happy. No, actually, Cape Cod Life is her magazine. I enjoy it, too, when I read it. But American Rifleman's good, too, if you want to read it. But anyway, notice here that these are all things that need to be renewed. But every one of these comes with a price tag, a cost, a value. You know, I had to pay $75 to renew my driver's license. I had to pay, I think, $52 to renew my registration. And the magazines, they come with a cost too, a value. There's a value placed on renewal. There's a cost placed on it. You know, the Bible tells us, 2 Timothy, all those who will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's a cost. You want to live godly in the Lord Jesus Christ? You may very well pay a price for that. And there are millions of believers around the world that pay a price for that every day. But you can take the word godly out of that verse and say all those who will live in Christ Jesus. You know, how much of a price will I pay if I deny that I'm a believer? If I blend into the world? Maybe that's why a lot of believers choose to blend into the world, because they don't want to suffer. You know what, in a way, I don't blame him for that, but you lose out on the benefit of the renewing work that the Holy Spirit does in us. As we said, each one of these items has to be renewed on a regular basis, and they all come with a cost. But the reason that you renew them is that so you can continue the validity of them. You can continue the use of them. You can continue with the power that they provide, the resource that they provide, the benefit that they provide. And that's what the Lord does for us. In all of these different things that are renewed that we've talked about, there is a benefit for the believer in continuing in a faithful walk with the Lord. And we're told in Galatians that we should walk in the Spirit, and then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a benefit to the walk in the Spirit. And here we are looking at renewing our good works. In our passage today is in Titus chapter 3. So if you want to turn to Titus chapter 3 with me, and we're going to be probably in a few different passages. We're going to look at some examples if we have time. You know how I am about the time and overtime. But Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared. After the kindness and love of God, our Savior appeared to men. So it was God's love, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So it all begins with the foundation of God's love. God loves me before I could love him, Scripture says, right? He loves us first. We talked about that at the Lord's Supper in a similar way. The Lord approaches us first. So he loves us first. So that's the basis for our salvation. And he sent a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to pay the price for our sin, to begin a process of renewal in everyone who will come to know Christ. So it begins with love, that God formulates his plan of salvation, and he sends his Son for that purpose. Not by works of righteousness. Now there's that word works, and we're looking at the idea of our good works. Now right away here we see a difference between our works and God's work. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. What righteousness have I done that merits salvation, that will take me from a condition of imperfection to perfection? How can I do that on my own? I can't. You know, there are a lot of good works done in the Bible. A lot of good works. Let's see. Solomon built a temple. Moses led the people out of Egypt. Ezra built another temple. Aholiab and Bezalel made all of the articles of furniture for the tabernacle. You get to the New Testament, Paul's planting churches all over the Roman Empire, traveling three times on foot all over the known world to plant churches and preach the gospel. Peter preaching the gospel to the Jews. All the disciples are out there serving, doing good works. You know, we're never actually told, when we're told to do good works, we're never specifically told what the good work is that we're supposed to do. But we can follow those examples. All the work that these men were doing were God-focused. They had God at the apex of all of it. And finally, the Lord Jesus Christ, he does the greatest work of all. He's the good shepherd who gives his life for the sheep. He goes to a cross to do a work that we could never do, so that we could gain a benefit that we could never earn. You see, all these things that I put so much effort into renewing. You know what? I'll put effort into getting to the inspection station to renew that sticker. That little sticker that goes on my windshield keeps the police from stopping me. That's how important it is. Doesn't matter the condition of my truck. As long as that sticker's on there, I'm good to go. I renew my driver's license. It doesn't say I know how to drive. It just says that I have the privilege to drive. Every one of those came with a cost. Didn't the Lord pay a great cost for our salvation in that work? But I'll put a lot of effort into every one of these things. I can't tell you what I put into getting my driver's license renewed. In fact, I got it right here. I'm going to show you something. This is my birth certificate. It's not up there. It's my birth certificate. I had to get my birth certificate replaced, amended by the state of New Jersey before I could renew my driver's license. And I'll tell you why. Because in 1965, on this version of the birth certificate, my name is spelled with a Q rather than a G. And when I went to motor vehicle, And I have renewed that license umpteenth times and taken my hazardous material endorsement test many times. They said, you can't do it. There's a misprint on your driver's license. I held my cool and I left. And I can't tell you how many steps I had to go through, hoops I had to jump through to get that birth certificate renewed. But the point here is I was willing to do it because I need that driver's license. I'm willing to pay the cost of my car insurance. I'm willing to go to the inspection station, even though when you go there, they don't charge you for that. Don't tell anyone, because that's one of the only things the state of New Jersey doesn't charge you for. But there's a cost associated with that, too. I got to go there. I got to stand in line. If my truck fails inspection, I got to pay to fix it. So there's a cost involved. If I'm willing to pay all of those prices for those works that I need to do, what's my excuse for not paying whatever price there is and doing good works for the Lord now? A greater service than any of this represents. I have also a passport. 10 years, you got to renew your passport. If I want to travel out of the country, I got to do this. It's not my passport, it's my mother's. I don't have one. But if I had a passport, if I want to travel out of the country, I got to renew it. There's a cost involved. I have also our marriage license. Wendy and I brought our marriage license. I don't have to show you that. You know there's no expiration date on it. You know that? Ever look at your marriage license? No expiration date on it. But it can be renewed. You know how you renew it? By saying, I love you, Wendy. I appreciate what you did for me. Thank you for being there for me. If I said to you, Wendy is critical of me, that would be different than saying Wendy is critical to me. So I say she's critical to me. I need her. I don't always express that. But you know what? That's a good way to renew my marriage license, by saying, Wendy is valuable to me. I hope I'm valuable to her. I hope that it's the same thing. But it doesn't expire. But there's still a cost in renewing it. You know, your birth certificate doesn't have an expiration date on it either. But every one of us has a new birth certificate in heaven. If you are in Christ, you have a birth certificate in heaven. Your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's your birth certificate. Born again in Jesus Christ. And all of this came at a cost. If I want to live in Christ godly, then I may very well suffer for that. All of us. So we see here that it's not by our works, but by the works of the Lord, which not that we have done, but according to his mercy, he saves us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you recall the message that we did on the offering of the red heifer, there was a tremendous amount of washing in that. Cleansing from the defilement of death. Waters of separation. You sin, you come in contact with death, you got to get the waters of separation. You must be washed. You see, the wages of sin is death. Death attaches to us. The Holy Spirit washes us in Christ, makes us perfect, clean, righteous, holy. That's his work. It's not my work. It's not your work. It's his work. Regenerating us. You know what? I was born again in 1982. I'm not the same Nick with a better haircut and a new suit of clothes. That's not me. I'm a new creation. You're a new creation. The second you were born again in Christ, you were regenerated, brand new. You know, I look in the mirror, I don't see that. I see my flesh going downhill. That's what I see. But spiritually, totally regenerated. Spiritually perfect. Your flesh, your body, going to be totally regenerated on the day of the rapture. The Holy Spirit's going to change you like that. Make you perfect. Body and spirit totally in agreement. Total harmony. So we have that to look forward to. So that work of regeneration that the Spirit is doing, he's still doing it. And right now he's renewing us. He's taking us, each one of us, and renewing us in our nature, in our love for the Lord, making us into the character of God. He's turning us into that character. And that's a difficult process for us, but it's a beneficial process. But the Holy Spirit is working on us in that regard. So we have that also to look forward to. These are all works, good works, that the Holy Spirit is doing on us, which he has shed abundantly upon us through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we see here, God the Father loves us. The Holy Spirit regenerates us, washes us, renews us. And Jesus Christ came to save us. The whole Trinity is at work right in these four verses. So when I think about doing good works for the Lord, and you know what? Everybody has to think about what that is. The elders have sent out to everybody what they believe with prayerful consideration, I'm certain, and guidance from the Spirit, what everybody's gifting is. Do you know what your spiritual gift is? If you have your spiritual gift, you know what your spiritual gift is, you find an outlet for that gift. You look for a place to use that gift. Maybe you have the gift of hospitality. A speaker comes along, needs maybe an afternoon to relax, maybe a meal. Listen, I'll host a speaker. You know what? Invite my neighbor over too who doesn't know the Lord. That's a good work. That's a great work. Maybe a brother or sister is sick and needs a meal brought to their home. That's a great work. The Lord said, a cup of cold water given in my name will not lose its reward. That doesn't seem like much of a work. I can do that. In fact, you know, it's right here in a bottle. Here you go. Good work. In the name of the Lord. If it's done in the name of the Lord, it's a good work. If it's done for the purpose of glorifying the Lord, if you know the Lord. See, what we see here is not by works of righteousness which we have done. I can't earn my salvation. I can't work for it. But as James tells us, faith without works is dead. In other words, if I am not demonstrating my faith in Christ by my service for Christ, then to everybody who looks at me will think that my faith has no value to me. They won't see a living faith. So if I'm not doing it and I'm not living it, then I'm not expressing it. Maybe it's as simple as you go to the stop at the gas station on your way home and you get $20 worth of gas. You take a $20 bill, you put it in a gospel tract. They're not going to turn down the $20. I've done that. You want the $20, you're taking the gospel tract. It's as simple as that. And yet, I've yet to have anybody say, well, here's take the $20 and hand back the gospel tract. Never had that happen. That's an easy work to do. The Lord said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's not hard. So when I think about the price that the Lord paid and what he went through, what's my excuse for not stepping up when I'm asked to do something for the Lord? I might say, well, I don't have the time. I don't have the ability. I don't have the energy or the strength. But then I have to read this verse that says, the Holy Spirit has been shed abundantly upon me. And if I look at that verse, how can I say I don't have what it takes? Because it's not me or any of us that's doing it. It's the Lord that's doing it. He's just using us as an outlet. And why is he doing that? So he gets glory, and so that we can rejoice in him. He's inviting each one of us into the work that he's doing. What's the last thing he said? Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Every one of us are doing that. Even if you never go out there and do it, you're supporting this assembly. You're helping to preach the gospel. You're sharing the gospel. You're doing that work. That's the ultimate work that we all are involved in. That's a good work. That being justified by his grace, and we know what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, by grace you are saved through faith, not of yourselves. It is a gift of God and not of works, lest any man should boast. So right there we have grace involved and the idea that the work is Christ's work, not our work that gives us salvation. We can't glorify the Lord in and of ourselves. In my flesh, I can do no good thing. In fact, it tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 that all of our righteousness is like unto filthy rags. Filthy, dirty, bloody, greasy, oily, disgusting rags. And believe me, I've had plenty of them in my career. You take those rags and you throw them in the garbage. You can't clean them. You throw them in the furnace and you burn them. That's where our righteousness gets us apart from Christ. Anyone who doesn't have Christ as their Savior, thinks they're doing works that honor God, they're heading right for the furnace. That's the shame. Tells us that in Matthew chapter 7. There will be those in that day that will say to the Lord, 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 have we not preached in your name? Have we not cast out demons in your name? Haven't we done all these good works? You know what? They're good works. But if they're apart from Christ, they have no value. And he says, I will say, I never knew you. You see, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, you're not earning salvation. It doesn't matter what you do. It won't help you. But if you're in Christ, all of these works build rewards in heaven. They glorify the Lord, and they build rewards for you in heaven. And we all want to enter into heaven abundantly. We talk about that abundant life, that we can all have that peace that passes understanding, that life more abundantly. That life more abundantly, as I have learned today, is Zoe life. Zoe life. That's life. That's the life of the Lord. That's his life that he gives to us. That's not my life, my biological life, my human life, my own psyche. That's his life. That's the life that we want. And we're going to enter into heaven with that life. That's the abundant life that we enjoy. It's not to have more of what the world can offer me. I don't need to work for that. All these things, they may be beneficial, but ultimately every one of them is going to burn. They're all going to burn. But I put a lot of effort into renewing them because I need them here. But what I ought to be doing is renewing good works. And when I talk about renewing good works, go from one work to the other. Don't stop. Keep pressing forward. Paul says to the Philippians, I press towards the mark of the high calling of Christ Jesus. I press towards the mark, he says. He has spotted a point, and he's going there. His service for the Lord is marked out, and he's pressing in that direction. That's what he says. That's what he says. And that's what each one of us can do. Move forward. You know what? If I'm not pushing forward in the things of the Lord, I'm not holding my ground. There's no neutrality. There's no holding your ground in your spiritual battle. You're either advancing on the enemy, or the enemy's pushing back on you, on me. And you can see that very clearly in my walk. If I don't stay in the spirit and I start looking at the things of the world, guess what? I'm going backwards. The enemy is advancing on me when I ought to be advancing on him. It's a military battle. That's what we're involved in, a fight to the finish. And here we see that not only are we justified by his grace, that now we're made heirs. Peter tells us that we have an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, reserved in heaven for us. Think about any inheritance that you might have in this world. Does it compare to what you're building in heaven when you renew your good works? When you build that temple, so to speak? When you make those articles of furniture for the tabernacle? How does that compare to what I'm earning in this life? What inheritance I might have in this life, because you know all that's going to perish. But everything we do for the Lord is going to last for eternity. And how long is eternity? It's forever. How long do I have on this earth? 70, 80, 90 years maybe? That's nothing. That's nothing. Compare that to eternity, that's nothing. That's a blink of an eye. I'll look back on this life one day and say, what did I ever worry about anything on earth for? I must have been a fool. I should have been more about the work of God. You know, who does the greatest acts of renewal in all of Scripture? Who's the one who renews more than anything in Scripture? It's God. God renews more than anything. 6 days he created all, right? Everything you see created in 6 days. Then he creates man, Genesis chapter 2. He creates man. And then he creates a garden. And he takes the man and puts him in the garden. And then in Genesis chapter 3, man falls into sin. So God had rested from his original work, and then man falls into sin. Ever since then, God's been renewing all of creation. You get to Revelation chapter 21, and the Lord says, I make all things new. I renew all things. I make a new heaven, a new earth. I make a tabernacle, bring it down to man. I will make a new Jerusalem, and I'll dwell with men. Talk about renewal on a grand scale. That's all of creation. Everything wiped out and renewed, made again. And he renews man also. Man fell into sin, Genesis chapter 6. God looks at man and says, every thought and imagination of his heart was only evil continuously. There wasn't a thought in anyone's heart that wasn't wicked. Now, I don't know that we're at that point in man's existence now, but that was terrible. And God said, I will destroy man who I've made on the earth. And the very next verse says, but Noah found grace in God's eyes. Why did Noah find grace in God's eyes? I don't know. Why did I find grace in God's eyes? That's in God's economy. There's no point in me questioning that because I'll drive myself insane. Just trust and be glad that God gave me his grace. You know, that's what I have to think. But he tells Noah, build an ark. Build an ark. And gather the animals. We know the story. You know I'm paraphrasing it. So two of every unclean animal go on the ark, and seven of every clean animal go on the ark. We sing the song, two by two onto the ark, that kind of thing. No, it wasn't two by two, it was two by seven. All right, but that doesn't sound really that good in a song. You know, so two by seven go on the ark, and Noah and his family go on the ark, right? Earth is flooded, and they rise above in the ark on the water. The wrath of God is what's pictured in the oceans and the water. But what is Noah doing the whole time that he and his sons are building the ark? It took them about 100 years to build that ark, which was basically the size of the Queen Mary, you know, that kind of thing. He's out, Peter says, preaching righteousness. He's a preacher of righteousness. Now, you talk about good works. Noah's doing a good work, a great work. He's preparing for God to renew the human race, working in that direction. And he's preaching to everyone he can, get on the ark. There's going to be a flood. And when the rain started and God put them on the ark and closed them in, how many people got on the ark with Noah and his family? Zero. Zero. So you think about your good works. I think about my good works. What am I doing for the Lord? Am I preaching the word? Maybe he's calling you to lead a Bible study, lead a prayer meeting, go to the Autumn Lakes, you know, and help out there with the, you know, with the older people, whatever it might be. Come to the chapel and maybe cut the lawn, something like that. Vacuum the carpet. You might think there's really no purpose in that. It doesn't produce any results. How many results were produced by Noah's preaching for 100 years? Nobody got on the ark. You might be out there doing great works for the Lord. He doesn't hold us responsible for the results. He just wants us to be faithful in the performance. That's what he wants. Don't worry about the results. Let the Spirit deal with that. Noah got on the ark with his family, and they were saved. God began again with Noah and his family, those who found grace. He renews with Noah and his family. So the greatest renewer of anything is God. And he's renewing right now with each one of us in Christ. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that you affirm constantly. Practice them in your mind. We talked about renewing your mind. Renew your mind so it focuses on the things of God. That's what I got to do. I got to get my mind out of the television set and stop worrying about, you know, Hogan's Heroes. I know I say that a lot, but I really like that show. It's old, but you know what? I got to stop being like Sergeant Schultz. I see nothing. I know nothing. I hear nothing. No, I got to be all in for Christ. That's what I got to be doing. I got to get my head out of those things. Renew my mind in the Lord. You know, that's up to me. You know, Paul said to Timothy, stir up the gift that is within you. That was up to Timothy. We got to stir it up, mix it up. You know what your gift is? Look for an outlet for it. That's a great place to start if you want to renew your good works. And we affirm it constantly. Keep this in mind always. Practice this continually. Why? That they who have believed in God might be careful, continually concentrating on this. To do what? To maintain good works. I got to maintain that continuity. If I stop that Cape Cod Life magazine subscription, I'm going to lose the continuity. I'm going to miss out on one of the issues gives me. If I stop my driver's license and don't renew it, I'm going to break the continuity of it. Now I can't drive. I lose the benefit. I lose the filling of the Holy Spirit when I stop the work for the Lord. I lose those spiritual blessings and benefits. So we maintain good works. These things are profitable unto men. The world sees that, and that's profitable to them because now they can identify us with our Lord and say, you know what? If they're that serious about Christ, maybe I better take another look. And what did the Lord say to us about that? We sang about send the light. What light are we sending here? Jesus is the light of the world. And the Lord said that we are the light of the world. We're salt and light. He tells us that. Don't take your light and put it under a bushel. Now, who would go home this afternoon and turn on the brightest lamp in your house and put a bucket over it? At the price of electricity, you'd be insane to do that. Who would do that? What good is the light under the bucket? Doesn't do you any good. You sit in a dark room, but I got light under a bucket. Makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? So if I want my light to shine before man, I want that salt, you know, salt and light. If I want to bring a good taste to the world, then they have to see me serving the Lord. And that might be as simple as coming here and maybe being out front doing something in the yard, and the people see it. So you know what? There are people in that chapel that take it seriously. It could be something that minor. Maybe you're called into the mission field. Go into the mission field because we have an abundance of the Holy Spirit. You know, why did the Lord put Adam in the garden? We see this in Genesis chapter 2. He put Adam in the garden. He planted a garden with everything that was good and pleasing to eat and to admire. And he put Adam in that garden to do what? To tend it and to keep it. Right? Till it and keep it. He invited Adam into his own work. And it tells us also that God walked in the garden in the cool of the day. So Adam is alongside God himself in the garden, working together, side by side, in perfect harmony. The Lord calls each one of us into a service for him. Whatever he's calling you to do, whatever your gifting is, you're working in the garden with him. You're working alongside him. And you're doing that work that glorifies him. So I have to ask myself a question. Am I continually tilling my garden? Or am I letting it get filled with weeds and overgrown and wild and out of control? I need to keep on tilling it because the Lord has invited me into this work. And have to be faithful to do it because it brings him glory. And it will bring each one of us blessing when we do it. Turn with me over to John chapter 15. I wish we had more time. John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that bears not fruit is taken away, and every branch that bears fruit, he purges it or prunes it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Think about that. Vines. When I grew up in Scotch Plains, my neighbor, my uncle's father, he lived between us, old Italian man, died in 1976, 82 years old. The man had grapevines in his yard that would make France jealous. He had grapevines. The vines were 5 or 6 inches thick. growing out of the ground. And every year, millions of grapes, millions of them. But where did the grapes appear? On the branches. You didn't see any grapes growing on the vine. But the vine supplied everything the branches need to produce the grapes. And every year, or most of the years, my mother and my aunt would gather up the grapes and they'd make jelly. Very sweet, delicious. And my uncle and his father, and sometimes my father, would gather up the grapes and they'd make wine. Right? They'd make wine. Now, wine in Scripture is a picture of joy, isn't it? Celebration, joy. Wine at the Lord's Supper. We celebrate the Lord's Supper. So the Lord says that he's the vine, we're the branches. He manifests his work through us. What's our role? Stay connected to the vine. Stay in the vine. And if we stay in the vine and we accept what the vine is giving us and calling us to do, then we're going to produce what's sweet, a sweet savor unto the Lord, and we're going to produce what's joyful unto the Lord. That's what we're going to do. We're going to bring something sweet and something joyful to the Lord. Walk in the Spirit. You won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. So he says, stay in the vine. And he says, my Father will prune the vine. You know, that's hard. That's hard. Being pruned is not easy. Nobody likes to be pruned. You know, James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations because they work your patience and endurance. That's a pruning process. You know, every year I have hundreds of daffodils that I planted in my yard and tulips. And I got to wait a whole year to see them. And they come up and I look at them and say, hey, they're beautiful. I love them. Right? 2 weeks later, they're dead. They're gone. That's the drawback of them. Same thing with my bleeding hearts. Same thing. They're here today, gone tomorrow. Right? You got to wait a whole nother year for them to renew. But then I look at my rose bushes. That's a different story. I look at my rose bushes. The blooms fall off. But then another bloom grows. And what talks about pruning, I can go out, Wendy taught me this, I can go out with the clippers and I can prune my rose bushes. And you probably know this, some of you. You prune them in such a way that you can produce more growth of the plant if there's an area that needs growth, or you can produce more blooms depending on where you cut it. And I'll go out there occasionally and I'll do that. I'll cut my rose bushes, cut them the way I want them, and it'll do one or the other. That's what God does with us. And he produces continual blooms. He renews us in our good works, continually renewing us. But the key is to stay with the vine. Don't separate yourself from the vine. One more example. We're running out of time, but I want to share this example. In Luke chapter 15, we know this portion well. The lost son, the prodigal son. Here's a picture of somebody who left the vine. And then he comes back and he renews. And it says in verse 11, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. And he divided unto them his living. The father gave both of his sons their inheritance. And what does the younger son do? And not many days after that, the younger son gathers everything together, takes his journey into a far country, and there he wastes his substance with riotous living. He leaves the nation of Israel, goes into a Gentile land, and he wastes all of the resources that he got from his father, or in a sense, the vine. He has separated himself from the source of his sustenance, his energy, his strength. And he's quickly running out of what he had. There's nothing filling him up, but it's all running out. See, that's what happens to a Christian that says, I don't want to do these works anymore. I'm tired of it. It's time to go. They turn off the I got to stop. But that's what happens to a believer. That's what happens to a believer. And he leaves. He goes into a foreign land, lives it up in a hedonistic lifestyle. He wastes everything that he had. And what happens to him? Not many days after that, I'm sorry, verse 14. When he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land. Not only is he out of what he brought with him, but now he's facing an ultimate crisis, a spiritual famine. That's what happens to a believer. You cut yourself off from the vine, you wither on the vine, you waste everything you had, and then you face a famine, a spiritual famine. What am I going to do? He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the field to feed pigs. This guy's reached rock bottom. He's feeding pigs. That's about as far and as low as it gets for a Jew. To go deal with the unclean, the most unclean animal that you can read about in Leviticus, the swine. Don't go near him. Don't touch him. Don't have him. Stay away from him. He's feeding them. Not only is he feeding them, he's envying them. And he's jealous of their food. He's envying these pigs. He would have filled his stomach with the husks that the swine ate, but no one would give in. You ever see what pigs eat? You ever see the slop that a pig will root around in? It's more appetizing to eat out of the back of a garbage truck. I wouldn't recommend that. Certainly not. But it is. This is how far down this guy's gone. And that's what happens to us when we separate ourselves from the vine. When I don't do good works, I wind up like this young man feeding pigs. Is that better than serving the Lord? So what does he do? He comes to himself. He says, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger? He's renewed his mind. He's renewing his mind. And he's going to repent. You know what? If I'm in sin and I want to do good works, a good place to start is repentance. That's a good place to start. You know, we come before the Lord at his table. That's a good work, to remember the Lord in the bread and the cup. That's a great work, to come and worship the Lord. Audibly, men, silently, ladies, neither one more powerful than the other or more valuable than the other to the Lord. Both equally valuable. You come and you worship, but it tells us, let a man examine himself, then let him eat. So that's a great work, way to start in order to do good works for the Lord. Examine myself. Can I do this? Should I do this? Is the Lord leading me to do this? Is there any sin in my life that's blocking this? And that's what this young man is doing. He goes back to his father. He rose, came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. And his father went out there and he said, you're not getting in here. Nope. Stay out. Go back where you came from. You're not my son anymore. No, that's not what his father did. His father embraces him. His father embraces him. His father falls on him and kisses him. And then he says, his son says, I have sinned against heaven and I have sinned in your sight. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. You know, that's probably true. But his father doesn't cast him out. Doesn't cast him out. Instead, he says to his servants, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, put shoes on his feet and a ring on his hand. Bring out the fatted calf and kill it. We'll celebrate. My son who was dead is now alive. That's celebration. He left doing good works for his father. He didn't want to keep up that work. So he says, I want what you have. I'm going out on my own. I've done that in my Christian walk. And you know where I wound up? Feeding the pigs. But he came to himself and he repented and he goes back. The story doesn't continue, but I would say that this young man was probably the most faithful, ambitious worker that his father had on that farm, because he saw his failure, where it leads, and now he appreciated what his father did for him. It doesn't tell us that, but I'm going to say that that's probably what happened with this young man, because when you come back to the Lord and you do those good works, you start to really see just how powerful they are and important they are. You know, and it tells us, the last thing that I want to look at here is, and we'll finish with this because we're out of time. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 5 through 8 say this, but watch in all things. That's a cost. That's a work and it's a cost. You got to pay attention. Endure affliction. That's a price. Do the work of an evangelist. That's a service. Do the work of an evangelist. Paul's telling us to Timothy, we'll all do that work. Support this assembly, you're doing the work of an evangelist. That's what we're all doing. Wherever the Lord has placed you, whatever the Lord has called you to do, maybe you come and you polish the furniture, you're doing the work of an evangelist. Because somebody comes in and sees that and says, this chapel takes the word seriously. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. That was a work. I asked myself, have I fought a good fight? Or have I just fought? Sometimes I fight against God rather than fight with God, you know, on his side. Did I fight a good fight? I finished my course. You know what? I haven't finished my course yet. None of us have. But when we get to that point, can we look back and say it was better to renew our good works than it was to renew all of this? I finished my course. I kept the faith. Did I keep faith with the Lord? Or did I concern myself more with what went on outside of the land and got distracted by that and left everything to go do that like that young man and wound up feeding the pigs? Henceforth, there is laid up for me, and we can all claim this, a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, he's not going to get it wrong. He's not going to overlook the evidence. He's not going to forget. The righteous judge shall give me at that day. What day is that? That's the day that we all stand before the Lord, the judgment seat of Christ, and he tests everything with fire. Is my work going to be gold, silver, and precious stones that survived the fire? Or wood, hay, and stubble? That's wood, hay, and stubble. There's nothing sinful in that I can tell, but that's going to burn. If I put more effort into that and more concern into that than the gold, silver, and precious stones and building that temple, so to speak, or leading the people, whatever it might be, then that's going to burn. I want the gold, silver, and precious stone. That's what the crown of righteousness is from. He shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all those who love his appearing. Do you love his appearing? You'll do good works if you love his appearing. If I don't love his appearing, I'm going into the foreign land. I got to stay where the Lord is. I got to be like Adam. Stay in the garden and till it. Work in it. Serve in it. Do what the Lord calls me to do. I don't know what he's calling any of us to do. I'm not even sure what he's calling me to do. But when he calls you to do it, do it. Just like Mary said at the wedding feast of Cana to the servants about the Lord, whatever he says to do, do it. Just do it. That's all there is to that. Whatever the work is, just do it. Let's give him thanks. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for your invitation to be involved in whatever work you're doing with us individually and collectively as a body, a local body. Lord, we all know that we belong to you, and we all know that you have a desire for each one of us. And we pray, Lord, that our hearts and our minds would be in tune with the Spirit's leading, that we would all desire the same things that you desire and work according to your will. And that work is joyful. Work did not become a burden or a problem until after sin. But we're new believers. We're new creations. We're spiritually perfect. Our work for you is never a burden, but only a joy. And when we do it, you fill us up. We don't run out. And we get renewed every day, moment by moment. And we thank you for that, Lord, in your precious name.